Unless you are a regular user of the app, you may not know that the PGA Tour app has its own course map. You can access by selecting the course button while viewing a tournament. Scroll through the holes, viewing par, average, tap to select a hole and get a more detailed description and a more magnified image of each hole. Also, before we get started, a reminder to swing by OGO.com and check out their Cirrus stand bag. I just got mine in the mail. It came in a huge box and it actually feels like there's nothing inside of it. This bag is the lightest bag I've ever felt. Go to find out more at OGO.com.
Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to an emergency edition of the No Laying Up podcast. We got the Trap Draw boys on here. It's been a while since the three of us have been on. We're in a new world currently. Tron, Randy, how we feeling?
Dude, I don't know. This is
the greatest.
Real tears, man.
I haven't processed it yet.
We're recording this. It's 2:15 for me. It's like 8:15 for you guys p.m. It's 2:15 a.m. for me, 8:15 p.m. Sergio just got the green jacket put on him. How many times did you guys flip-flop during the day about whether or not it was going to happen?
I didn't flip-flop at all.
I texted Tron after Tron, what shot was that? I'm like, it's donezo.
I think it was after he pulled it on 13, I think.
Yeah. I was completely out.
I kept the faith. Justin Rose looks so solid after, I want to say like after 14, like 13 or 14, I was just like, damn. Or like he looked unflappable, to use that term that everybody's used a million times this week. And then, never gave up hope, man.
He still was pretty, like, he only, 17 was the only hole he bogeyed, right?
Yeah.
He was nails.
Yeah. I mean, essentially 13 was a bogey.
Yeah.
Right. So,
And then Mahan tweeting that it was a great call that he chipped that, or that he putted that. That was so good.
You couldn't help but put him on blast. You couldn't wait for that.
I had to. He set himself up for it.
Yeah, he did. I think, was he making the joke? Part of me wants to think that he was. Yeah. I don't think he was, though. We're not talking about Hunter Mahan after Sergio Garcia won the Masters.
Yeah, and first of all, I apologize. I got just absolutely weaponized today by my allergies. The pollen down here just like I'm literally like wheezing into a t-shirt right now. So paper towels, tissues weren't enough.
You needed those Rose's shades. That's supposedly why he wears the gigantic oversized shades.
No joke, dude. I had my mom's sunglasses on at one point today.
I've never heard of sunglasses for allergies. Is that a real thing?
It keeps the pollen out of your eyes. It sounds kind of bootleg, but it actually works a little bit. So anyway, enough about me. I'm not trying to be J Day here.
JJ Tron. I feel like what we saw on 15. I don't know what would the most exciting one. It had to be the eagle on 15, right?
He hit the stick.
Did it hit the stick?
These guys didn't even realize it. It was incredible.
Did it really hit the stick?
Yeah, it hit the stick. It was like Big Cat all over again.
It nipped it.
Yeah, just like the slightest ricochet. But yeah, I mean, God, when he made that, basically when he nuked his drive down there, I was like, all right, game on. On 15.
But Rose making par on 13 opened the door. That was like, hold on, wait a second. The exchange on 13, and then Sergio stuffed it on 14 and got the birdie, and then it was like, oh, wait a second. He's not.
But
dead.
I was worried he was gonna like yank a drive or something on 15 and get himself blocked out.
Yeah.
And then like that was a big moment for me because I was like, all right, if he gets it over the hill, sees the pin, there's no doubt in my mind that he's hitting a top notch iron shot. You know.
Well, and Rose winced up on 14 when he hit the drive. What was that?
Did he do it on 14? He did it on 15 when Sergio got him by about 40 yards. That's why
I think 15?
It was 15. Yeah.
Oh, okay, 15. Yeah, Sergio, yeah, 15.
But and then 16, Alex was like worried for me after he missed the putt on 16, but. The one that I was like, oh shit, was the putt on 17 that angle that they showed us.
Oh god.
I was like, I know that stroke. I mean,
that first putt, oh god, yeah.
It's a little twitchy for me, dog. The putt on 16 was, that's a really, really hard putt. I mean, he did stiff that in there, but that's not where you want to be putting from.
And then the one on 17, I was like, it was almost like it was like Furyk's swing in a putt. Like there was like three different swing planes in that putt. I was like, that was like, I need to unsee that.
So. I think it was a little bit of a shank.
Yeah,
he came way from the inside. That was I was fearing that second putt after seeing that first one. He claimed the putt he hit on 18 was exactly where he wanted to hit it. As soon as he hit it, I did not think that was going in.
I think you got a little negative after Rose reeled off the three birdies in a row.
Which holes were that?
That was like 6, 7, 8. I think he birdied right in a row.
I thought it was. Yeah. I thought it was over for sure. Like I 100% was thought he was toast. He birdied three and then didn't make another birdie until 14. The par on 13 is what's going to go down in history, I think. I mean, that's when it looked like it was absolutely over.
I thought for sure he laid up too close to the green. I was worried he was going to, you know, it was kind of an awkward yardage, but I mean, he knew exactly what he was doing. I thought the bogey on 10, like after that just abysmal second shot that he hit in there, and like Faldo is just painting every negative picture possible on every shot. Like,
he was like,
oh, yeah. Like,
Faldo's nuts. Like, I honestly, God, think he's, like, high all the time. I don't – all his calls seem to be they don't – they never come to fruition. There were a couple times, like
– the one that he had on 18, Sergio's putt in regulation on 18 – that was dead on. He was like, this is a flat putt, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot flatter. And I mean, he but yes, to your point, everything.
Just throughout the day, he's like, oh, that's impossible. Like, a guy would miss, and he'd be like, that's an impossible up and down. And the guy hits it to like 6 feet and makes a punt. It's like, come on, Faldo. Like, it's not, like, you know, he's making it sound.
He just talks so much that it's hard to like put any value in anything that he says. Like, I don't even remember what he said on 18 because I honestly like tune him out when he starts talking. When Johnny Miller's talking, like, you are listening to that. Like, he talks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Miller talks a lot as well, but he's pointed when he speaks. Like, it makes sense. Like, he's going somewhere.
And Dan Hicks does a good job of kind of not babysitting him, but kind of baiting him in the right instances and then, you know, and then kind of dialing him back in other instances where I feel like Faldo's just sitting there, like, you know, doing whatever he wants up in the booth.
I think so, I wish that I would have more perspective on Faldo's career. Like, I was telling you, the golf channel I have over here was playing old highlights of the 88 Open at Lytham when he was going down the stretch with Seve. And I think I would have a lot more respect for Faldo if I actually watched him playing growing up. Like, I'm sure people older than me have a lot more respect for what he says on the broadcast than I do. But
was Faldo like, was he pre-pop? Like, you know, like Spieth is post-pop. Faldo might may have been pre-pop because he definitely lacked pop. I think in general, he had a really
lived in the pre-pop world.
Yeah,
Nick Price was number one.
Nick Price was number one for a long time.
Yeah, Nick Price like was 1993, basically. But. Yeah.
But I feel like that like encapsulates the pre-pop era.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to move on from that eagle on 15. Like that was
I don't think you guys have given enough credit to like his ball was sitting up on the pine straw on 10. Like he could have easily gotten way under that and chunked it into the bunker or thinned it over the green on 10. Like that was to me that was a huge just get it on the green or get it close to the green. And then ensure you get down in two shots after that. Like he could have made more of a mess of that, put it in the bunker and then, you know, and then two putted. But instead, I think he really salvaged it there. And then he yanks the drive left on 11. And that was a ridiculous shot getting out of that, putting it on the, you know, on
yeah,
the
that front. Was a really good shot.
So I thought that was huge. He was battling. You know,
I thought on 10 his ball was going to be lost. I didn't think he was going to find that. Yeah. Well, it's shocking that the CBS cameras didn't pick it up, couldn't locate it after it came down. But I don't know. I thought it was going to be either he would have had to walk back, right? He would have had to re-tee or not re-tee. He would have had to hit four from the rough or fairway.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. That would have been the tournament right there. But yeah. And then, all right. So then 17. You know, bad putt, but you know, crushed a drive. I mean, he was just nails.
He didn't hit a bad shot after the tee on 13. He didn't hit a bad shot after the tee shot on 13. He didn't miss a fairway or not hit a. I mean, he stiffed a bunch of them, and then 17 was a solid shot as well.
It was two shots on 16, like both of them just putting it in there on top of each other. That was as good as it gets.
God, that was awesome. I mean, it was kind of a boring day up until the last five holes, but I guess that's kind of how they set up the Sunday pins and the tradition to be. But I'm having trouble formulating words. That was the greatest. That was one of my favorite golf tournaments of all time.
And then 18, I was like, dude, this is ridiculous. When Rose's
that you kick. Know,
Rose pushes one and
Rose
it
got
kicks.
The bounce. Yeah.
That was insane. And then he got the bounce again in the playoff.
I know.
But just not quite enough of a bounce. You know? So I'm worn out, man. I'm exhausted.
Everything felt like Rose was going to win that tournament for me. Everything did.
Oh, I mean, God. But so, and like, I'm exhausted not just from today, I'm exhausted from like the last 10 years. Of really rooting for Sergio. Like I used to hate Sergio when I was a little kid, and I went 180 on him in the late 2000s, and then ever since he went into the wilderness and came out, I've been just so on Team Sergio. And the amount of heartbreak, you know, Randy always makes the joke that we file our Sergio bets with our tax returns. Like that this is the first year that I haven't bet on Sergio to win the Masters.
Our first ever honestly, Masters, our first Masters preview in 2014, that was our official pick.
Yeah. Like honestly, I've probably spent $400 on Sergio Masters bets. Wow. And you know, but this, I mean, still it's just, this is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It's just exhausting because the worst case scenario is constantly running through my mind when I watch him in a situation like that. It's like you never afford yourself any type of, you know, well, maybe it'll work out. Maybe he'll come through. It's always just like, no, this isn't going to happen. No, it's like that's what makes it so exhausting.
So we're on a text thread with a couple guys from college who are like pretty casual golf fans, but they're both like pretty dialed into, or pretty casual golfers, but they're pretty dialed in on like the tour. And one of them said like, oh yeah, like got that Sergio drive from the match play down in Austin queued up right here. Just like, dude, stop. Like, that's not cool at all. Like, don't put that in my head.
The thing is, it felt, I mean, I don't know, I just got done saying it always felt like Rose, but the way it started with birdies on 2 and 3, like it was like, okay, this is how he has to win it. When he blew that, at no point did it feel any different than any other heartbreak that he's had. Like, I did not feel like he was going to come back from that, but holy shit, did he ever.
Well, Neil said something about the putt. Like, when he was standing over the putt on 18 in regulation, Neil was like, holy shit, this is like the same scene, the exact same setting as I think when he lost to Harrington.
Yeah.
Like it just, it was eerily reminiscent of it.
Carnoustie 07.
Yeah.
Then, oh. That putt was closer to going in than this one was, though. But, yeah. I mean, he's lucky he didn't have the pressure on that putt. In the playoff, but man, I'm so glad he made that birdie too. Like that was so much more satisfying than if he would have tapped one in.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, making the putt, that was like icing on the cake. You know, not just an exclamation point, an upside down exclamation point on the of the sentence. So, but could Sergio ask for a better tee shot, like to play when the chips are down on 18, like just to shoot with, you know, calling for a low cut or, you know, low fade. Like that was what he was born for right there. That shot, you know,
in hindsight, I'm thinking about every time he was standing over a full shot coming in, I had zero fear. The putts is where I was not feeling comfortable, but I had total confidence in into pure the way he was driving the ball and the way did he hit 8-iron basically on every one of those shots coming in? I know he hit that on 15. I think he did on 16.
I think on 17
it's a wedge.
Wedge. Okay, yeah. I think he was 147. So I would think he'd probably probably a pitching wedge.
That wouldn't be
how steep he gets.
A quick break to talk to you guys again about the Callaway Chrome Soft golf ball. Callaway has been the fastest growing golf brand since 2013. There's a reason you see these guys dominating social media every single day. The Chrome Soft golf ball has been a major part of that. It is extremely fast, incredibly soft, and unbelievably easy to control. Guys like Phil, Patrick Reed, Thomas Peters have all switched to the Chrome Soft. We saw what Thomas Peters just did to Augusta National with the Chrome Soft. You have to be willing to change to get better. Chrome Soft and the new Chrome Soft X are in stores now at CallawayGolf.com. Chrome Soft, it's the ball that changed the ball. I think this is a really popular win amongst the players. I mean, especially like the Euro Ryder Cuppers. But I thought it was interesting that Rory came out and declared he was rooting for Sergio over Rose.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he didn't necessarily say that. He said, like, vamos, like, give him one. It was his tweet or something.
Yeah. Props to Rose, too. I mean,
oh, he's so good. Like,
yeah. I mean, you can't, you know, he's not my favorite player, but I have no ill will towards him. He couldn't have been classier about it. And, you know, definitely a good champion. You know, I'm glad he won the U.S. a few years ago, despite Phil's collapse. You know, I'm glad he's a major champion. I think he'll win a couple more. I think in the long run, his career probably stacks up with, once it's all said and done, I think his career probably stacks up with Ernie's.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I think he wins the Masters.
I think his best days are ahead of him. Yeah, man.
He always contends here, man.
He's been there 4 or 5 years in a row, you know.
Can we talk about how I think I won our Fried Egg pool with 6,000 entries? I had Rose. I didn't have Sergio. I had Kuchar. I had Peters. I think I might be up there. I don't think I'm eligible for the prizes, but
can we talk about Kuchar?
Oh, your boy.
My God.
The backdoor T4. Like, that was the most predictable. How did we not see that coming?
And playing with Rory both days on the weekend, and then he gives the ball to the little kid wearing the orange T-shirt and a faux Gucci fedora.
That was like, for you.
Like, yeah, it was like he sought that kid out just to spite me even more. Unbelievable. It was incredible.
Huge.
Do we want to get on CBS yet, or do we want to keep talking about players? We have a lot to cover with Rory, Spieth, Fowler.
Let's keep talking about players.
Okay.
Let's keep it positive.
All right, let's go positive then for Thomas Peters. This guy's a freak. I it's hard not to do a CBS one with this. I think they showed like two of his full swings
chomping
today.
At the bit, man.
They showed like two of his full swings. He's got one of the most beautiful golf swings I've ever seen, and they don't show him. He shot 68 today, finished T4. That guy is an absolute beast. Like If we're choosing between Rahm or Peters, who are you taking?
I got to take Rahm, but like that's like saying you're choosing between like, you know, DJ and I mean, it's like,
terrifying. It's like either way,
They're awesome. I would equate Peters to like early 90s or early to mid 90s NATO. Like he's like he's like a missile defense system hanging out in Central Europe.
What does that?
I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
He's just like a counterbalance to all the terrorists out there. Like he's a freedom fighter, man. He's the big waffle.
I like his waffle game.
Like ASAP, like Lego or like some sort of waffle company needs to sign him up. All right, I'll shut up now.
The very best in Belgian waffles. No, I like his game. I don't know who I would take between Peters and Rahm. It's too early to call. They both look really good. They both are super confident. I loved what he said after the second round. When did he say Augusta? He was like, it's just another golf course.
I think that was
after the second round.
It might have been, but he shot 72-68, so that would make sense if it was after the second. I thought it was after round one, but yeah, he's.
And I texted Tron. I was like, oh, he's due for at least a 75 plus after saying that. And he struggled a bit in the third round, but he came back. Yeah, credit to him.
Yeah, he battled.
I like his confidence.
God, that guy can strike a golf ball. Some of these young guys that can putt so well is what like really impresses me. It took a while for Sergio to become an efficient putter, but like some of these guys that come out are 22, 23 that are fearless on the greens are what really terrifies me.
How about Rahm's outfit today? Like, is that going to be his Sunday thing? Like the Basque colors?
What was it? Red and green?
Red. Ooh. Yeah, it was like green and red with a white belt. A
lot of white belts out there today, Tron.
Oh, a lot of white belts. Yeah.
Sunday at Augusta.
Like, a lot of people were trying to bait me in to talk about, you know, just shit on Spieth's or Sergio's belt. And, like, Sergio's just, he's above all that.
Yeah, you know, he's
like,
all right.
Like, it doesn't matter what Sergio wears, how bad it is, anything like that. Like, he's exempt from all that.
Can I ask you honestly, what'd you think of Fowler's outfit? Like, honestly.
It was brutal. It was bad.
It was like that alternate Tennessee Volunteers uniform that they wear like once a year when they have like a home non-conference game.
The gray jersey.
The gray. Oh, just so bad. Yeah.
It's really bad. He needs to
fix it.
It was like if Spieth
like wore his normal like gray and then like went hunting afterwards.
He feel like he had settled down the Sundays for a while there. He would go like a subtle orange shirt with like gray pants or something like that, and that didn't look too bad.
Yeah.
But the orange pants is not a good look. But
even like the white, like I don't know, I didn't mind his stuff the last couple of days, but even the white pants with the orange shirt and the orange hat.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been nearly as bad.
No.
Yeah. But he was totally all right. So on Fowler, he was totally under the radar. Like, you thought he was gonna. He was at 5 under all the way until 10, and then he bogeyed 11, bogeyed 12, bogeyed 16, bogeyed 17, bogeyed 18. Like, and it was just so. Really, even yesterday, like he was right in the hunt, but he was just totally, just treading water. You know, not making any noise, but not doing anything stupid either. It was just a weird weekend from Fowler.
It was one. I already forget that he was one shot back going into today, and he was almost a complete non-factor. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't remember him being that close, even as of the 11th hole. I think Rose had it to 9 at that point, maybe.
Rose had it to 8, and then I mean, he was only 3 back.
Okay.
Going into 10.
Yeah, it was like 8-8-5 at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see those two going 76-75 today. Him and Spieth.
No, now, granted, I'm looking at the scoreboard in hindsight, and that's like, obviously they weren't playing 10 simultaneously, too. So
right.
he was actually, you know, like, but if you look at where they were concurrently through their round, he was only three back when they both made the turn. So can we talk about your boy Spieth?
Yeah. What do you got?
What do you got?
I don't know. I'm a little disappointed, to say the least. Round 175, round 475. I don't know. I don't really know what to think. I thought we'd see a lot more out of him on Sunday. I feel like the milder conditions is perfect for him, in it being such an emphasis on second shots on this golf course, and the way he was hitting his irons in round three. I thought it was going to be like a green light special for him today. I feel like he was almost, I don't want to say like too overconfident going into it. Like some of the quotes he was saying, you know, leading into the week about striking fear in people and saying you can't Jordan proof this course. I know there was more to those quotes than what like went into tweets, but I don't know. It just did not add up for me today. I'm surprised by it. I don't really have a full on take on it. I don't think it necessarily means anything. I know people will make a big deal about getting wet on 12 today, but I mean, he didn't make a bogey from like the fourth hole in round two until the 16th on Saturday afternoon, and then today he bogeyed 1, 3, 6, 10. He doubled 12, bogeyed 14. He finished with three birdies. He carried his wrecked rig across the finish line, but I don't know. A little disappointed.
I don't really read too much into the double on 12.
No,
I
mean, he was out of it by then.
Exactly. And it was such an exhausting week, too. I mean, that was like, this is probably the most, mentally exhausting Masters in recent memory, just because of how brutal the conditions were the first 2 days.
Yeah, that was not fun. I did not enjoy those first 2 days, I'll be completely honest.
Like, it's fun at first, and then it just kind of wears on you. You're like, all right, guys, this isn't why I tuned into the Masters, to watch guys just grinding their asses off, you know.
I think what makes Augusta so great is that even in like conditions like today, like very mild conditions, it has a ton of those like half par holes or holes that it's if you execute like two shots very well, you can make a birdie quite easily. Like holes like 13, 14, 15, and 16, all of them. Like if you hit good approaches into the right spots, it is very easy to make birdies for the most part. But if you're not executing your shots, if you're off by 15 feet, like if you miss 15 feet right of the flag on 16 and you don't catch the slope, like you get punished pretty badly. So I don't know. I know they can't control the wind, obviously, but the course just the event plays so much better when it's not super windy and gusty, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was surprised that it didn't play a little bit easier the last 2 days.
What was the lowest round we saw? 60.
The total for the tournament was 65.
Yeah, Hoffman in round one.
Which is insane.
It really is. Like,
I think historically that probably goes up there with Ken Duke's round at the Players last year.
Another Englishman. God save the Queen.
I think, was low round on the weekend 67?
I think Kuchar today, 67. Matsuyama shot 67 today. And then, Kuchar, and then Rose yesterday.
Chuck Hoffman stuck around for a long time. I was sad to see him fade with the 78 today, but I don't know how he plays this golf course so well. I wouldn't think of it as a Charlie Hoffman golf course, but this is not the first time he's messed around at Augusta.
He's got a pretty repeatable swing. You know, I think it's just a matter of the putter's just got to get hot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a great ball striker.
What do you got for me on McRib?
He doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't.
I mean,
something's off with him at Augusta.
You think he's trying too hard pressing too hard on it?
He was 4 under on the weekend.
Yeah.
He just, but it was like it never any, like there was never any momentum or never any confidence. You know, I don't know. It just seemed like he was not going through the motions, but it seemed like he just didn't really, he never truly inserted himself or, you know, strutted around like he felt like he had his A stuff that, or really even his B stuff, and he could string together, you know, 9 to 15 holes of good golf, you know?
I'd have to look at it, but I feel like he probably made around the same amount of birdies as Sergio did, just made way more mistakes and way more bogeys. Sergio only had one. Sergio didn't have any doubles this week, and he had one, yeah, two, three, four, five, six, seven bogeys the whole week, whereas I don't even want to know how many bogeys Rory made, but for every step forward he makes at Augusta, it feels like he makes a step backward immediately. He finished very strong today. He only made one bogey the whole day today, but I mean, I don't know.
I mean, Rory only made two. He made two bogeys and one double on the weekend. But I think it just felt like that because, like, when he parred 13 yesterday from 175 yards out, like, that felt like a double almost.
Yeah.
You know, so I think some of it with Rory is like he parred 15 Saturday and Sunday, or actually Friday, Saturday and Sunday. He parred 13 Friday and Saturday. Like, some of that's just, you know, I feel like he. Those feel like bogeys and doubles. Yeah. You know, just...
I don't know. I think it'll still happen for him there. I know... I don't know. T7, it's... I don't know. It feels... I hate when people get up, you know, poke at somebody for, like, seemingly backdooring. Because it's a four-round golf tournament, right? But it is... It does seem like this is, like, 3 years in a row, basically, that he's finished near the back end of the top 10 without really, really hunting it down at the end. But... I don't know what it all means. I think it definitely will happen for him. I just don't know. I'm already tired of, like, the whole, this is his third go around the chance at the slam. Like, this even becomes a story. I know it was kind of even a lesser deal this year than I think it was in previous years, but I mean, it's called the career Grand Slam for a reason. We're all going to lose enthusiasm for this if we do this for 10 more years. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I know it can't stop the narratives from going, but I don't know. It's already wearing on me.
Randy, how about your boy Westwood? Sorry.
What did Westwood finish?
He finished shot 74 today. Finished T18.
I want your McRib take. Did you have a McRib take, Phil?
Well, I was just gonna say I definitely think Rory's gonna win at Augusta. It just seemed like I don't know. This might be crazy. It just seems like he was never really, like, on the offensive, you know. Maybe the conditions obviously weren't easy the first couple rounds, but I just think he's got a, you know, he's almost playing a par 70 in a lot of respects. You know, he should that course is, those par fives are mega gettable for him. I just never felt like he was on the offensive at Augusta, and I guess I haven't felt like that in a few years now. I don't know what.
Do you guys feel like the whole like wet long course thing is overstated for him?
No, I don't. I back to what you were saying though, Phil. I feel like the guys that have done really well here the last few years are, and this is why I had trouble talking myself into DJ out there. Is it really isn't that much of a course that you can overpower anymore. And I know Spieth made this point that he's like, you can't, when he said you can't Jordan-proof this course, he's like, it's because I don't overpower it. It's not, and there's certain holes where you can hit it into spots where, you know, like if he gets down that hill on two, I think, I don't know, one of the days he had like 170 into number two. But one of the days he hit, yesterday he hit three wood and laid back to the top of the hill and it could still reach from there. I feel like guys like Rose and Sergio, I mean, I know they hit it plenty far enough, but they're not like the top 10 longest guys in the game. I could be wrong with that on Sergio. I don't think he is. But I don't think it's necessary to be super, super long and super like attacking everything. I feel like playing, if you're playing your irons to the right spots in the green and avoiding the bogeys is more important than, like, there's enough birdie holes out there that you're going to run into a few if you're giving yourself enough 15-footers that... It almost seems like Rory, into a much lesser extent, like JT, those guys that play hyper aggressive and are always, yeah, seem to be on the offensive. To me, Augusta is going to catch you enough times over the course of 4 days.
Like, it kind of baits you into,
yeah, like some of those pins, yeah, you can't get after, and if you're yeah, wayward off some of these tees, a big time, it punishes you on 7, on 11, on 17, a lot of those holes. So. Like number,
yeah,
one, yeah. If you're missing the fairway on one, like, you're making bogey, like that. So, I don't know.
I think that was going back to your point about two, like when you get down the hill, going back to Sergio, that was probably the one point today, at least until that second shot into 10, where I was legitimately worried, like, because he just didn't, like, that was a green light special. He had what, 180 yards in, 195 yards in on two?
Was it that and little? Wow.
It just dumped it in the bunker. You know, that was just poor. But yeah, and then speaking of your guys who kind of fit that mold of guys that try to overpower a golf course, pretty good weekend from Koepka.
I thought that was coming next. This is going to shock you. Didn't see a lot of it on TV, but he did close, birdied, he doubled 17 and birdied every other hole between 13 and 18 to shoot 69 today and finish T11. So I don't really have much to say on it because I didn't get to see any of it, but that's one of the most impressive major finishes he's had, and he's had a couple top 10s. So
how about the group at T11? Matsuyama, who shot 67 today, Henley, Koepka, Fowler, Spieth. All at one under.
Minus Matsuyama. That's like a Ryder Cup team right there.
Yeah. And then how about Stricker? Stricker shot 68 today.
That's how is Stricker qualified for this?
He's 16. He finished top five at like what, PGA or something last year?
Did he really?
He pulled up. I don't know.
That's just your go to for when somebody qualifies. Just go, yeah,
I think Porter said that about somebody the other day.
Summer Hayes. Finished fourth at the Open last year. Is that how he got in? I don't remember that at all.
That has to be how he got in, yeah.
I think, let's see, anybody else we didn't cover that needs to be covered? Sad to see Ernie go out with a DFL of everyone that made the cut. I don't know. Maybe that gives him some closure for you know, what he's been through out there at Augusta specifically. It sounds like mentally he's done with the Masters. So
good riddance for him, I think. He's like, dude, I'm good on this place. all right, Randy, can we talk about your boy Stu Slenderman?
Yeah, man. I mean, was he anchoring his putter?
Big E and Big D seem to think so.
How does anybody know?
I don't know. They've messed that rule up so badly. The rule is definitely designed to eliminate whatever he does with the putter. That shouldn't be the story, though. We should not be talking about his
No, his I don't. I don't mean it to be. I don't.
I know.
Yeah, he had a really good showing. First mid-am to ever make the cut at the Masters. It was a great
five birdies today.
Yeah, low am. That's a heck of a week.
How do you work as a financial analyst in New York City, where you can only play golf a certain amount of months of the year? You can't go play golf really after work unless you're going to Chelsea Piers. And
it's probably balls in the simulator game, dude.
But still, man, like, and make the cut at the Masters. That is so massively impressive. Like, I'm blown away by that.
I'd like to get a better understanding of his actual work schedule before I come in on that. Like, so is he really?
I was talking to him. We were in game on the trap draw before the Masters, and we just couldn't figure out the right time. But I'd like to get him on some sort of recap to just talk about his experience and, you know, kind of talk through the week. I think that would be really interesting.
He shut Nance down when Nance tried to suggest that he turns pro. He just destroyed him. But
that was like, and I don't mean to bring him up because I think we're in the post Jeff Knox era. Like,
yeah,
it's almost gotten to the point where people are beating Jeff Knox to death so badly that by the time we get around to it next year, like, Jeff Knox is gonna be like a post hype sleeper because, like, you know, he's just been played out so badly by everybody. But I do think, like, that was kind of the Jeff Knox quote, was like, why would I turn pro and make and like have to work a lot harder and make less money than I'm making now? You know?
Yeah.
Which is sweet.
It's just so massively impressive.
What'd y'all think of Curtis Luck? More importantly, his look, his get up.
I'm down with it. I like him. I think
it worked. Weirdly, I was really okay with it.
I didn't like His move at the ball is not that intriguing to me. It's a little LPCP.
He's kind of like a an Australian Luck, or Fitzpatrick.
He quite literally is an Australian Luck. Yeah, I could see that. Fitzpatrick had a nice show. I mean, I don't remember where he finished, but he had some moments this week. Oh, he shot 78 in round two. I didn't realize that, but
yeah,
he had a showing.
He battled back today.
Yeah.
How about Brian Stewart making the cut? I mean, Pyhowski was just dumping all over him prior to the Masters. Said that he was like, man, I'm shocked that Brian Stewart has these odds. And he was like, I was like, really? Like, why? And he was like, no, like I'm shocked that Brian Stewart's in the Masters, that he has odds at all. Like, that was kind of – and then, I mean, he finished T36, 70 round two, 74 round three, 73 round four. So a little bit disappointed in Soren Kjeldsen. Faded big time on Sunday. Mm. Didn't expect to see that. That Weisberger guy played well today. A lot of guys bounced back in round four.
Bubba had no interest in making the cut. Bubba did not want to be there that weekend.
Guys, somebody was saying sickly.
Yeah, really sickly.
It's not good.
It's on that pescatarian tip. It was funny. One of the guys was like, yeah, Bubba was saying something. I think it was on one of the alternate streams where they were saying something about Bubba talking about how much he can spin this golf ball. I was like, yeah, I think that's kind of the problem. Like, he can spin it too much and he doesn't know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
He just looked lost on some of those shots out there.
Disinterested.
And then he popped his wrist back in.
We didn't even talk about Phil.
Yeah, I mean, what's there to say?
Right? He had a classic Phil tournament.
Phil made so many bogeys.
Like, so many great shots, gave away so many, strokes. Just up and down.
I mean, yeah, he made a lot of
bogeys.
He made 16 bogeys and two doubles. And shot two over.
He legitimately had a shot at three eagles just today, too. I thought he looked on 13, I think. He eagled two. I feel like every time I was turning around, it was like Phil was either ramming one by the hole for par or putting for eagle. Like, there was no middle ground at all.
I think he was like 80 over for the week on hole number three. He could not figure out hole three.
He doubled it twice.
In the second round.
Yeah, he doubled it round three, round four. No.
I thought when you all were talking about speed, speed kind of had a Mickelson-esque tournament.
He played two and six under for the week.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
What's your speed played a Mickelson-like tournament? What's your angle here?
Well, just, ton of bogeys, made a quad, highs and lows. I thought that was, his kind of four-day scorecard was one that Mickelson would be very proud of.
Phil really does look like he tires out pretty easily at this age.
Was he trying to win the tournament?
I think when he was going to the back nine on Friday afternoon, I thought he was right in it. And then he had a couple three putts. He just got really sloppy on Friday afternoon coming in. That killed him.
You were texting me. You said he wrapped his rig around the emergency barrier or something in the middle.
No, the garage partition at his home. Like, he got home, but it was major damage to the car and the house at home. He didn't leave it out there on the freeway, but he wrapped it around the divider on his garage.
It's like that Wolf of Wall Street scene where the guy he makes it home Quaalude state he's in. Have we covered the players? Because I've waited 42 minutes now to get just lay waste to CBS.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
do it. Fire it up.
Does somebody want to go first, or can I go first?
You go first. You're chomping the bit.
Yeah, just go ahead.
I tried my absolute hardest not to tweet too much about it today. I really don't know where to start, other than I can't undersell the disservice they're doing to the game. And Tron, I know you pointed out, and I didn't notice it as much until you pointed out, so you hindered my viewing experience, that they're only showing putts. Like, they refuse to show full golf shots. We know what we can, if you're using the tracker to follow any player, which the tracker is not an immediate update, you can see like 90% of what they do before it's even shown on TV. When the feature groups came out today, I was like stunned that Spieth and Fowler weren't one of them, and I legitimately was upset knowing that we were going to see less than half of either of their shots, and that ended up happening because they both dropped off. But it started out horribly Thursday. They got it together Friday. They came in strong yesterday on Saturday, but it's so bad. It's amazing that we can see action going on. All of us can see action going on from home, and they can't display it on our screens. They're so obsessed with the storytelling and, you know, going with the narratives that they've already decided on versus reacting to what's going on out there. Half the time when they go over to Dottie Pepper on 13, it looks like she doesn't know that they're even coming to her, and they don't even know that she doesn't even know that people are playing the hole. It's so bad.
Yeah,
I can't handle it.
She's kind of lost over on that hole. So the big, like, first of all, they spent however many minutes this morning or early this afternoon, like right when they led into the telecast, showing them repairing the hole.
Oh my god!
A number, like after Henley obliterated it when he dunked it, like that was so gratuitous, and like that just set the tone for the whole day. And then it's like they're totally rudderless when some of the guys that are contending come into 13, and but they still have to show the guys on 8 and 9. Like, they can't multitask whatsoever. And then Keimer was – they were showing his tee shot on 12, and he was staring at an eagle putt on 13. It was like tape delayed, like legitimately like NBC Olympics-style tape delay.
I will say they got it together. Well, they didn't have much of a choice coming down the stretch. It became a two-man show, and you can't really screw that up. But the end was fantastic theater, I thought. But, man.
Yeah.
And they
captured it well the last hour and a half or so.
Yeah. And the Thursday-Friday was the worst. I mean, it's CBS crew that's running the ESPN broadcast and is at the helm. And you could tell within 20 minutes of the opening broadcast that it had just had the CBS stink all over it. I don't know. Every time I feel like they're making progress, I feel like it gets worse and worse, and it just makes me so frustrated. It makes me not want to watch it. Like, I can watch. I have to keep like two screens going, one for like the Amen corner and 15 and 16, because they don't show those holes. They don't show anyone teeing off on 13. Yeah.
They refuse to show the tee shot on 13 at all,
which is absurd.
Except for like the last group or two.
I feel like their setup is part of their problem. I feel like those other live streams get them in trouble because are people supposed to have multiple screens open, or are we supposed to be able to rely on the broadcast to show us? You know,
I think that's the question. They're like stuck in no man's land,
right?
Where
I feel like
they're so frustrated when somebody claps back at me on Twitter and says, "Oh, well, that's what this stream is for. Like, why weren't you watching?" I'm like, I am watching.
Yeah.
That, but like, I only have one set of eyes, guys. Like, I'm not, you know, and I'd rather watch it on the high definition screen than on my computer or on my phone. You know.
Yeah.
All right. So they showed. So we got some no laying up interns working on charting some shots today. This one, courtesy of my man Malcolm Herbert. Up in Boston, he said roughly 380 shots shown on the main telecast, 200 full shots, 180 putts. But that full shots is including anything even from just off the green.
Okay.
So that was kind of how he delineated it. So probably closer to a little bit more than half being putts or chips. And then he counted more than 15 quote this just a moment ago and then another 20 instances where, and he wasn't even looking for this, but another 20 instances where he was watching something on the one of the other feeds and then saw it 3 minutes later and they didn't say this just a moment ago. So so just no flow in the middle of the broadcast at all the last couple of days. Like it becomes rudderless, like between hole four, you know, kind of once they get to four and like until they get to the back nine.
Coming on the air today at 2 Eastern, you know, with like basically, you know, there's a 205, there's a 215, 225, 235, and 245 tee time. They didn't show the 215 and 225 tee times. That made like zero sense to me.
Good groups, right?
Right. One was Peters and Westwood, I think, and I forget what the other one was. It was what, Schwartzel and Scott, I think. And they didn't show them teeing off. I can't understand. And that's where they were showing them repairing the cup on five. Like, how do you need us to even mention, or anybody to mention, that we'd rather see, you know, two Masters champions and two other excellent players teeing off in their third and fourth to last groups on a Masters Sunday, the final round? Like, it makes absolutely no sense.
I'm upset. Faldo was doing play-by-play for the hole repair, though. So that was sweet. I actually did kind of laugh a few times. God. I think what got me the mumbles. Most, I think CBS is, I think their setup is the root of their problems in that regard. But I think what got me was on their alternate, on the internet streams, their use of graphics was... I guess so much better that they don't use graphics on the main broadcast, and I don't understand why they're so hesitant to do that.
I get the sense that that's like a Masters, that that's like an Augusta National directive, though.
You mean Pro Tracer, though, right? With the graphics,
Pro Tracer, yeah, pretty much. Like they have, you know, quite a few drives where they're like right behind the player. It's a great angle. But as soon as, you know, after contact, you can't see the ball. So it's wasted. And then they cut to the ball in the air, but you have no idea where it is. I don't know.
Well, then it's tough, too. Like, when they're playing the back nine, some of the camera placements, like, you can't see the ball in 13 at all. Like, on the drive, and you can barely see it on the second shot in the green. Like if they put a camera up kind of, like, on the – right side of the fairway, or like at the top of the fairway, kind of like that would help immensely. Like you can't see the drive on 14 or 17, like the shadows are, you know, some of it, like it's begging for Pro Tracer. And I know that would detract from the natural beauty of the tournament, but to me, like, I don't know, like seeing Sergio's drive, you know, like on 18 with a Pro Tracer on it would be like, you know, pure ecstasy. Yeah.
My problem with the Pro Tracer that they had on the internet streams, like they wouldn't show the ball land, like they would show on the graphic, like what, you know, you could see the Pro Tracer and see where it landed, you know, according to the graphic, but they wouldn't cut to where the ball was rolling. We only need the graphic for when the ball's in the air for like a few seconds. Right. That's all we really need, and then they wouldn't cut to the ball. I didn't understand that, but I don't know. They still got a ways to go with, you know, they gave us all these channels and whatnot, but there's still. So many – those feature groups those first 2 days were rough, to say the least. They got it together.
Yeah. It was graceful.
Oh, my God.
It was
awesome.
That was so brutal. Like, what a waste. You have all this infrastructure to do, you know, magnificent things with these groups, and you choose to you know, parade out a couple of groups that nobody really gives a shit about. You know, I love Henrik Stenson to death, but, like, he's kind of irrelevant at the Masters. You know, like, it's just not a great track for him.
And that's and people were getting on us for complaining about him, saying, you know, it's an international game, and it's like we wanted to see some of the international players. Like I want to see Rory.
Yeah. I mean, like those guys. You know, that was three international guys paired together right there. Yeah. You know,
you can't even stream those online streams from overseas without a VPN. Like I had no access to it. I had to cheat my way into it.
Yeah. I got a couple takes. Kostas, I thought Kostas did a good job on 15, and people always accuse me of giving him a free pass, but I like Kostas. I think he's good. Goes a little bit too hard on Paul Casey, or go, you know, a little bit too focused on Paul Casey sometimes, like the beginning of the day today. They did a whole package of Paul Casey highlights, which I thought were kind of misplaced. But, I mean, Casey had a good day, but, like, show more of his shots live instead of, you know, just that kind of bundle of them at the beginning. But yeah, I thought he was very good on 15. Bill McAtee is like the most vanilla dude. Like somebody tweeted the other day that they could basically record his sayings or his you know, euphemisms and comments and just play them back every year because they're so impersonal and vanilla and bland and like don't really add anything to the proceedings whatsoever. Like that's kind of my take on him. I think Dottie's struggling on 13. Like she's just they're miscast for that spot. And then yeah, I mean Vern on 16. He had a great oh wow today. Like,
and
Vern's
silent. He went silent as those guys were coming up, like 16. And think about that. Yeah. He sits there all day waiting for that final group. That's his chance.
That's his one.
Grab the mic, and he just stayed silent and let them walk up 16. I thought that was so perfect. He's the best. And Costas really added to the moment. Sergio's eagle, I thought. I thought his call there was fantastic.
Yeah. So. I thought he was very capable. And then, I mean, 15 just looked great today. Like, the way that the light was hitting it and, you know, the time. I don't know. It just looked – that was like a resplendent hole today. That was the star of the show. Yeah, great optics.
I'm glad we got that weekend, kind of the conditions soften up, the nice weather, the sun. Like, that's what it's all about. It was a good mixture, you know, of kind of weeded some guys out that weren't quite there mentally those first 2 days. And then, you know, the kind of green light special without it being too easy. It wasn't like 2015 all over again where guys were just throwing darts all over the place. So I thought it was a nice mix. Augusta is just – it is such a great tournament golf course, and I know it's everyone's effusive in their praise of it, but it really is fantastic. It's not a perfect course. There are some holes I really dislike out there and don't enjoy watching guys try to play, but man, it's a lot of fun. There's that, especially that final stretch, those few holes. 17's kind of boring, but that stretch from like 13 to 16 is there's not a better stretch in golf.
Yeah.
Including 12. So, all right. Anything else that we missed? I'm sure there is. I mean, I think we could talk about this tournament for like a week, I'm pretty sure. Am I crazy in thinking that after Sergio's won the Masters that now I think Phil's going to win the U.S. Open?
God, that'd be great.
That's going to be a Formula One track up there. Like, I think it's going to be like Koepka, DJ, Day, just battling it out, cutting it over dog legs.
I'm starting to worry if Phil can grind like that for 4 days.
Yeah. I'm already off this take that I just had 30 seconds ago, and I'm back on DJ.
And then, so I've been working on the route up for the Birkdale round that we did over in England. Like, the more and more I think about that, the more and more it's just like Spieth. Sergio now. I mean, all right, that's a question. Do the floodgates just open up for Sergio now?
Not like DJ. Not in my opinion.
No, I don't think this changes a whole lot. I think it changes the way that we'll talk about him if he's coming down the stretch of a major now. I mean, it won't be like that sad freak show that Twitter was hilarious this afternoon. Like, nearly everyone was resigned to this not working out, including myself. I did not think this was going to happen. We can't really do that anymore. Now that he's done it, we can't, like, I was refreshing Dan Jenkins' Twitter like multiple times today. I was like, he has to say something here. He has to. Oh God, Sergio Twitter.
So I'll go back. So you always talk about the Ryder Cup in what, 2024?
Yep.
At Bethpage.
Yeah.
I think Sergio needs to be playing captain there.
How old will he be now? Is he 37?
He's 37. Yeah.
So he'll be 44 or 45. Whatever. I think he's got to be. I think Poulter's going to captain that team, isn't he? Do you want to do your read take, by the way?
What's that?
Do you want to do your read take?
Oh, that he stinks?
Yeah.
He's like the American Poulter?
The American Poulter.
I mean, there's not really a take. Like, he just, like, you know, honestly, I mean, you and a couple other guys have just been carrying his bathwater when I'm not seeing a whole lot of difference between him and Poulter.
He's 26-year-old, four-time PGA Tour winner.
He's never finished top 10 in a major.
He's not.
Yeah, he's got to get going a little bit. I think it is fair to start kind of talking about that.
Five-time Tour winner, sorry. The major thing, it's not good. He does have five top
good.
Not good. Not good.
He's five top 25s, though. You know, I mean, you know.
All right.
I think he's good. I think he's good, but he's got to start. It's time.
It's not been a good season. It's not been one to follow up on whatever he did at Hazeltine. But no, I thought your take was a little harsh on the American Poulter thing. But and as much as it pains me to say it, though, Poulter did have some very, very good years in there. But he's toast now. But
All right. I'm going. I'm looking up Poulter. The whole Poulter. So he has a match play. For whoever says that Poulter never won anything, he won two WGCs, first of all. So that was, you know, that needs to be on the record.
Yep.
And he won them pretty late in his career, so that's fair. That's fair criticism. He won the first one at 34, the second one at 36. But by the same token, he was stacking up a lot of European Tour wins. From like 2000 to 2006 or so. Won the Italian Open twice, won the Moroccan Open, the Nordic Open, the Volvo Masters, Andalusia, the Celtic Manor Wales Open. He was stacking up national opens, which
you
I respect the hell out
opens.
Of.
You love
oh, they're the
national
best.
Opens.
And granted, he in his first four years or so playing majors consistently, he had a top 11, he had a T for 11 at the 05 Open Championship, but then from 2006 to like 2013, he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He had 7 top 10s in majors, including a solo second and 2 T3s.
Yeah, and then after the 2012 Ryder Cup, though, team, he's been a non-factor for the most part on the world stage. That's my saving grace when it comes to Poulter. But all right, hour in, have we wrapped the 2017 Masters? One of the greatest tournaments I've ever seen, honestly, or one of the greatest finishes, greatest thrills of a finish, I would say.
Behind Mickelson 04 for me.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough one to bypass. But is it runner up to Mickelson's, you think, Phil?
Yes.
For me, it was the best I've ever seen. It was a triumph of the human spirit.
Phil,
like, seriously, they should do like a one shining moment of just Sergio missing putts. On the stretch, but just like stuffing irons and then missing putts, and then finally, like, it's like one shining moment. He finished it off. Like, he couldn't mess it up. It was incredible.
Do you guys at least understand people that dislike Sergio at this point?
I do, but I'm not sure they fully realize kind of the transformation he's undergone.
What do you mean by transformation?
Well, just how brutally honest he is about, or he was about his game, and you know, his doubts, and you know, I think he owned a lot of his past behavior. I think he got a lot more human for me, and when he talked openly about, you know, it may never be good enough, you know, my best, maybe I'm just playing for second. Like, that's when I really started to root for him and like him more, because that's, you know, that's as real as it gets. And so I think a lot of people who heckle him, and you know, I think certainly 10 years ago, 12 years ago, he deserves some criticism. I don't think he deserves, you know, as much as he gets. But, I think anybody who still has a problem with Sergio doesn't quite understand, you know, what he's kind of the transformation.
That's a them problem, not a Sergio problem.
Yeah. At this point, it's a you problem.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, even today when I see replays of the 99, like, PGA at Medina, like, I still, like, I don't, like, you know, physically turned off by that Sergio, that image of Sergio. But then at the same time, I'm thankful for that Sergio, because it helps me appreciate his current state that much more.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it would have been really easy for him to mail it in after the shit that he went through with his game and his personal life, and like 2009, 2010, and he battled back and buckled down and, like, you know, took the hard route to get back to the top of the world. I mean, I think that says something about his character, you know, and just because he's honest about it, or he's somewhat you know, somewhat vulnerable about it, you know, I think people kind of dog him. But if anything, to me, that just means, I don't know, that's just more strength for him, that he's able to do it also publicly.
God, I'm just sitting here with this, like, a shit-eating grin on my face listening to this. Like, it's so awesome that he won. He's been through so much, like, so much heckling. And I know some of it gets shown on TV. I'm not sure if people really have the full appreciation for how much he goes through out on the course sometimes. Our fans can, you know, don't have the best reputation worldwide, and especially when it comes to Sergio, it's not a strong history. So I think that definitely helped that it's Augusta, and he doesn't really deal with that nearly to the extent that he would if it was in New York. But
even the one that stands out was the Players a couple years ago to me. He took so much.
Yeah, that was bad. We played with JT that like that Saturday round, I think, or something like that. But I don't know, just to see somebody that we've watched kind of for our lives. We're all around the same age. He's a little older than us, but we've watched him play for, you know, almost two decades now, to have this inner struggle and this battle and to overcome that and to see that emotion on that 18th green and it all come together when it just did not feel like it was going to ever happen. I don't know. That was historic. That was amazing. I'm just on a completely different high than my reaction to the 2016 Masters, that's for sure.
This sounds like a kind of a Johnny come lately take, but I remember thinking this when he did it, but, like, watching the big Euro event in Dubai at the beginning of this year, like, he I think he was, like, wire to wire there and didn't even show any shades of pissing it away, and he had some pretty good players on his heels, Stenson and Hatton, and, like, I want to say Fitzpatrick was there, and, like, I mean, it was a quality field. And basically he just took it and ran with it, and, like, to me that showed a shitload of growth at the time. But I was like, man, like, because I remember a few years back when he won in Cotter in 2014 or 2015, and I was like, oh man, like, he is vibing heading into the West Coast swing, like, he likes playing kind of a sparing schedule heading into the spring, and then, you know, just didn't really. But it was kind of like, fool me once, shame on you. Gio, fool me 14 times, like, shame on everybody, I'm an idiot, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, it feels good to be vindicated a little bit, especially with people outwardly rooting against him on Twitter today too.
Fair enough.
I don't feel like anything changed with Sergio, other than it's like, it's his time, you know what I mean? He's been this kind of guy for several recent years. It's not like he went through some transformation that made it happen this week. It's just kind of, it all finally fell together. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it literally goes back to the whole, it's a numbers game. You put yourself in position to win enough times, you know, at some point, you know, I mean, granted, you can point to somebody like Monty and say, all right, well, that's bullshit. Like, Monty never won a major, but I mean, if you keep knocking on the door and putting yourself in as good a position as Sergio has put himself in over the years, you're bound to get it's like he take on 13 yesterday when he hit it. Like, I thought that was wet in the creek for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it was up. Like, you know, you need a call, and he finally got a couple of them, you know? So.
Can we talk about people thinking that me saying I'm so sick of Sergio getting all the breaks, thinking that I was serious? Like, people replied to me thinking that I was serious. Twitter was not good. Some of the replies were not good this week. But
you need a sarcastic font.
Twitter does definitely need that. All right, gents. It's about 3:30 here. We're an hour and seven in. Anything else?
Cool. Randy's going to be on site this week.
Yeah, Heritage. What do you got planned for us?
Yeah, down in Hilton Head. I'm caddying in the Pro-Am Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to that. I plan to probably write something up about that, and then I'll be on the grounds all week. Try to get some good intel, follow some guys. Should be great weather.
When do you find out who you're caddying for in the pro-am?
Not till Tuesday. Like,
which group? Okay.
Yeah, not till Tuesday.
Then yeah, I'll be down. I'll be joining you. I think we're gonna drive up on Thursday.
Yeah.
So I think we're gonna try to do a little podcast from the Karama Hibachi Japanese Steakhouse.
The site of the board of directors meeting in 2014, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be lit.
Yeah.
Well, Randy, enjoy that. If you guys are going to the Heritage and see a 6'7" guy wandering around in a bucket hat, please roast his caddying along with
I'll be riding my chicken all around the grounds.
Slender man.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for jumping on.
All right, solid. Thanks for staying up late, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. See you guys.
Cheers, boys.
Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect